In the name of Jesus. So as Tony is collecting the offering, I cannot overemphasize this to you guys. I don't know if you've got ears and seeing, eyes, ears to hear and eyes to see, and a heart that perceives that there is something evident that the Holy Spirit has been doing in your midst. And where this goes and how far this goes totally depends on your attitudes. Do we understand? You've read about revivals. There is not a single revival that ever happened which ended God intended for it to stop. Every single revival that took place and it came to an end, it was never God's intention that it ended. It was the people involved with it that put it to an end. And one of the quickest ways in killing any move of the Holy Spirit is when we do not learn how to cooperate and work and honor the Spirit as He moves among you. And this is why the Bible says, do not quench the Spirit. Why? Because it is possible to quench the Spirit. Okay? What else does the Bible say? Do not grieve the Spirit. Why? Because it is possible to grieve the Spirit. How do we grieve the Spirit? Failing to honor Him when He's working among you. How do we quench the Spirit? Failing to honor and acknowledge Him when He's working among you. So for there to be any sustained move of God, touch of God, outpouring of God, the people of God will have to learn to recognize the manifestation of the Spirit. And not only do they learn to recognize His manifestation, to honor the manifestation of the Spirit. I don't know about you. I've just come way too far. If you guys aren't going to recognize that, I'll be the first one to leave this place. Because I'll not be a part in a place of people that will not own and recognize the Holy Spirit. So it is possible to do what? Quench the Spirit. That's why the Bible says, do not quench the Spirit. Who can quench the Spirit? You can. I can. Do not grieve the Spirit. Why? Because it is actually possible to grieve the Spirit. Here's what we have to learn when we're working with the Spirit of the living God. Ever wondered why the Bible says do not grieve Jesus? Because He can take our rubbish. That's why He died on the cross for it. But the Spirit can't. Anybody understand that? That's why the Bible says, do not grieve the Father. Well, that's what fathers are for. They are for grieving. But that Father says, do not grieve my Spirit. But the Father who take that extraordinary step to tell us not to grieve his Spirit, it's because the Spirit is very sensitive. Okay? This is why the Spirit is portrayed as a dove. Jesus is portrayed as a lion. So if you want to grieve him, good luck to you. The Father is portrayed as a consuming fire. If you want to grieve him, good luck to you. But the Spirit is portrayed as a dove that the Father has to protect him from you. That's just incredible. So when I'm talking to people everywhere to settle down or sit down, I'm not being mean or unreasonable. It's just that standing here, I have a sense and a leading of what the anointing is doing. And the last thing I want to do is interruptions and distraction and dishonoring. Okay? Do you have any bottle of water somewhere here? Father, thank you that you love us so much. Holy Spirit, sorry. In times that we grieve you, times that we quench you, times that we dishonor you, times that we fail to recognize you. Lord, even as we learn to wake and cooperate with you, I pray that you be patient with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, that would do. Thank you. Okay, so I just want to read a few verses, probably share for about 10 minutes. Oh, it's down here, Jeffrey. Thank you. Before we go out and do the baptism things. Anybody getting baptized this morning? Yeah, exciting. Okay, I'm going to read a few verses from Luke chapter 5. And probably 3 or 4 points I want to share with you. Then I'll pray for some people that still need further prayer before we go out for baptism. Luke chapter 5. What book?
Luke chapter 5.
All right, we're going to read from verse 12. Okay, which verse?
12.
All right. It's very good. While Jesus was in one of the towns. Well, I guess that means Jesus was in a lot of towns. And the cool thing is that Jesus is not only in a town near you, but he's also in your heart. Okay, so while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. Who came along? A man that was covered with leprosy. Okay? So the thing about that is, when the Bible is saying a man was covered with leprosy, the number one thing they're trying to tell you or indicate to you is, this man, you have to do what? Stay away from him. Okay? He was a man to be shunned. A man nobody could come anywhere anywhere near or closer to him. But not only that, he was also a man that was not allowed anywhere near people. He was excluded from the fellowship and the company of the brethren. Because it was one of the Levitical laws that if a man had leprosy, had to be quarantined, had to be removed from the group and the fellowship of his brothers, his family, and put away and put in a place where the sun doesn't shine. So, like I was talking about Bartimaeus the other Sunday, Bartimaeus, compared to this guy, was in a better place. Because despite of his situation, he was able to go to town. He was able to go to the people. He was able to go to the temple. But a man with leprosy could not go to the temple. Could you imagine that you are in a place where you need the most help in your life and you are not allowed to get anywhere near help? So such was his dilemma or plight. When he saw Jesus, he fell to his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." I think one of the things I find so incredible and tremendous about the life and the ministry of Jesus is that one way or the other, each one of us gets to have an opportunity to be touched by him. In a place where he couldn't go to the temple, he can not go to where God dwelled, but God would make such an occasion and a point that he would go where he is. That God would reach out and endeavor to go to his pit, to his gutter, to his lonely, to his place of desolation, and meet him right at the right, correct time when he needed help the most. You see, the fact that Jesus was coming his way was not a guarantee that he's going to get healed. Because remember, this man is a leper. And anybody, a person with leprosy touched, became unclean. So what that means is, if this man touched you, you became unclean. And you too, consequently, were not allowed in church. You too, consequently, were not allowed to be in the assembly of God. So, if there was a person that if they touched you, you'd be excluded from all the benefits of life you have. What are the odds if you saw him, you'd not run the opposite direction from him? And that's what everybody else did. And that's why they were called the untouchables. If they touched you, you became defiled. If they touched you, you became unclean. If they touched you, you became unworthy. So to see Jesus, who is pure, who is perfect, who is blameless, who is holy, the last thing Jesus would ever want to do is be touched or later on touch the defiled person. But the most incredible thing about the perfection of Jesus, that every imperfect thing he touches does not make him imperfect, but becomes perfect. Did you understand that? That every unrighteous thing Jesus touches becomes righteous. Every unholy and unworthy person he touches becomes worthy, becomes holy. It is so incredible that regardless of where you are and where you stand, you can't defile him, but he can transform you. This is good news for every one of us that feel we are not good enough. He's better for the both of us. He's good for the both of us. He's holy for the both of us. He's perfect for the both of you. Are you understanding? As such, we can all come before him as we are. Because the scripture says, there's nobody that ever comes to him shall he cast out by any means. What does anyone mean? Anyone, I think, means everybody is included. Irregardless of where your life is or how your life is, if you come to him, it says you will not be rejected. And that being a truth, it was a saving hope and a salvation for this man that had leprosy. But this man with leprosy says something that may be a little bit helpful to most of us. He says, Lord, if you are willing, make me clean. In other words, he was not sure if it was God's will to heal him. And more so, part of the reason why we've not seen more healings in the church, because we also hold to the same theology and doctrine where healing is concerned. We are never sure if the disease we have, God is willing to heal us or not. I've heard things like, what if my sickness is something God is using to teach me something? So if we are in that place where we're thinking there is a slight chance God is using our disease to teach us something, at what point do we walk in a fullness of faith to believe God for healing? At what point in your life would your pastor have a persuasion and conviction deep within to believe for your healing if your healing is going to interrupt God's lesson in your life? Do See, that kind of thinking in itself, it makes the whole idea of healing inapplicable. It makes the whole idea of healing not valid. Because we know Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. So we know the will and the desire of God for you is to be made whole. The will and the desire of God for you is to be healed. What sort of diseases did he heal? All form of sickness and diseases. So the number one thing I want us to embrace and probably break into the understanding is, it is never God's desire to afflict you with pain so you can learn a lesson. The only lesson I'm going to learn is how horrible a father he is. That will be the only lesson to be learned. But he says, if you who are evil know how to give your children good things, good gifts, how much more your heavenly Father who's perfect. So, in a way, is I wouldn't care less what pain, what disease, what sickness we have. I'm convinced it's God's will and desire to bring healing to you, to your soul, to your mind, and to your body. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. So why don't we see healing? It's because we're still practicing. We are not better at it yet. Nothing whatsoever to do with God. Everything to do with us. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Why aren't other people healed? Because we are still practicing. We are still getting a hang of it. Thank God we're getting better. But the promise is to move from glory to glory. And that applies to every aspect of your Christian life. That also includes from stomach aches to headaches to cancer to limbs growing to the dead raised. Because when you put things into perspective, those are the elementary things of the Christian faith. Remember? Go preach the kingdom of God is at hand. And in my name do what? Raise the dead. Those are the basics. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. So the man said, if you are willing, clean me. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. That's incredible. But Jesus does the unthinkable. He reaches out his hand and touches somebody who is untouchable. And the moment Jesus reached out and touched an unclean person, and the Bible says, immediately, that very moment, instantly, the unclean person became clean. How about that? See, Jesus didn't become defiled immediately. See, this guy didn't say, God heal me. He says, if you are willing. And Jesus demonstrated that it was his will, beyond every shadow of a doubt, that the unclean man should be made clean. that the broken man should be made whole. And immediately, the leprosy left. There's a last point I want to make. You pay attention. Wasn't that incredible that the leprosy left? Wasn't that incredible that he was healed? Wasn't that incredible God was willing to touch him? Isn't that encouraging that whatever stuff you've got in your heart, he's willing to touch you? He's willing to touch you. He's willing to walk with you. But the most incredible thing is, Jesus wanted more for this guy. He wanted more for him than just being healed. He wanted more for him than just being set free. He wanted more for him than just being cleansed. Just like he wants a lot more for you than just being saved. He wants a lot more for you than being on your way to heaven. He wants a lot more for you than just being healed in your body. He's wanting a lot more for you. Tell the person next to you that there is always more. So, verse 14. Okay, are you listening? Verse 14. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anybody. That's not our worry. Our worry is the second part. Go. Show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing. Why is this important? Actually, when you read about it, every person with leprosy that Jesus healed, he told them to go and show themselves to the priests. Did you know that? He told them to go to the priest. Why? You see, how did one get diagnosed with leprosy? If you had a skin condition, you had to go to the priest, and the priest will examine you. And if they find you've got leprosy, there will be the priest that would order you to be quarantined. It will be the priest that will send you away from fellowship. It will be the priest that will tell you to go away. It is a priest that will tell you that you are unacceptable in community and in society. It will be the priest that will tell you that you are not worthy to be in the company and the fellowship of your brothers. Are you understanding that? So the process to be healed, you'd have to go to the priest and you'd offer a certain sacrifice that was commanded by the law of Moses. And when you've carried out that sacrifice, the priest will examine you again. And when you have been cured of that leprosy, the priest would offer that sacrifice and will reinstate you to community, would reinstate you to life, would reinstate you to all the privileges and all the social benefits that society ever gave you. So you may be cleansed and made whole, but unless the priest certifies that you are made whole, you could never come back to society. Are you understanding? So when Jesus says, you are clean, go show yourself to the priest, he's saying, I've made you whole, but being whole is not complete. I want you reinstated in your community. I want you reinstated to your promises. I want you reinstated to your people. I want you reinstated to the fullness and the purposes and all the promises that God has for you. He just doesn't want you healed. He wants you restored. He just doesn't want you delivered. He wants you walking in the fullness of the victory that he purchased for you on the cross. He just doesn't want you forgiven. He wants you to be purified, perfected, made whole in him. Is somebody getting this? He just didn't want you to get saved and go to heaven. The same one that saved you to go to heaven, he saved you that you may prosper in every life of area of your life. He saved you that you may have good health. He saved you that you may have a better job. He saved you that you may be thriving financially. He saved you that you may be thriving in every area of your life. He saved you, not just you could go to heaven so that you can be the head and not the tail, that you could be above and not beneath. Are you understanding this? And this is why the word salvation, sozo, means nothing missing, nothing broken, perfect in every way. Salvation means you are whole in your body. Salvation means you are whole in your spirit. Salvation means you are whole in your mind. Salvation means you are whole in every area of your life. If there is something missing, then the fullness of salvation he paid for on the cross has not been walked in or stepped into fully. And this is why it is his will that you be healed. Because your healing is part of the inheritance he bled on the cross for. It was his will that you be healed to a point that 2,000 years ago, by his stripes, you were healed. So your healing is not something that is yet to be attained. Your healing is not something that is yet to be achieved. Your healing is something that was bought, paid for by the blood of the Lamb 2,000 years ago. And the only thing left for you to do is to step in there and appropriate everything that he purchased for you on the cross. Does that make sense? And with that fullness of understanding, he tells the clean man, I've cleaned you, but it's not enough. For it to be complete, you gotta be restored to your family. And for you to be restored to your family, you go show those priests. You go show those accusers. You go show those blaming people things. You go show them. You go stand right before them as a testimony and a witness. Here's something incredible you got to understand. He is sending him back to the very people that send him away. Are you understanding that? He's sending him back to the very people that beat him down. He's sending him back to the same people that said he was unworthy. He's sending him back to the same people that said he was unacceptable. He was untouchable. And they see the man they cast out rolling, looking all clean, looking all perfect, looking all shiny, looking all dazzling, and said, I was outside the camp to the place where the untouchable and the unacceptables go. And the Messiah, Jesus, the Son of Man, the Lord God Almighty, he came to a place where priests dare not go. And he touched me. And his perfection made me perfect. His cleanness made me clean. His holiness made me holy. His wholeness made me whole. And he sent me to come to you that you could examine me, that you could check me out. And there was only one way to check a man with leprosy, to make sure he didn't have leprosy, is to strip him naked, where everything in him and about him comes to bear. And they see not even his butt cheek has got pimples or spot or leprosy on it. He's perfect every which way. Oh, good. Oh, perfect. He's clean. When the Son of Man sets you free, you are free indeed. How is that? Because whenever he does something, there's got to be a witness and a testimony that he did it. That's why when I say, if the Lord touched you, come and testify you, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm trying to put you in a place where you testify that actually he really did it for me. And the priest looked at the guy. You see, this testimony is twofold. Are you understanding? How many ways does this testimony go? Two ways. The number one testimony is, he is a man we certified he was unclean, but he is a man who is now clean. The second testimony is, we did not offer a sacrifice for his healing. We did not do it. It's a testimony that Jesus, he is who he says he is. Did you hear that? Probably in this story, that is a far greater testimony. Not that the man was healed, but Jesus was proved that he is who he says he is, and he does what he says he does, and he fulfills everything he promises to fulfill. It's a testimony about his faithfulness. It is a testimony about his goodness. It is a testimony about his unfailing, unshaking, unwavering, unbreakable promise to you. Say hallelujah if you got all that. So they checked him out, and they believed that Jesus is the Son of Man, and he's also the Son of God, that he's the Messiah. Now, imagine if you were the leper whose healing ushered in a testimony to the priest that Jesus was the Messiah. How cool that would be. Now, something better you can imagine. Imagine if your situation and circumstance and the bad news you have and the sickness and your area that you've been crying out to God for a breakthrough, if it exists there for one reason and one reason only, for God to touch you today and set you free so you can give glory to his name and you can be a testimony to your friends and relatives that your God is actually the real God. Because that's exactly what the Father wants to do in you and for you and through you. Can we stand, please? I don't know what kind of a breakthrough you are hoping for this morning. I don't know what your cry to God has been. But whatever the area of a breakthrough you're hoping for, whatever area that you've seen pain and suffering, you're hoping Jesus will touch you, I just want to believe that this is the day that the Lord has made. I just want to believe that this is your day of your breakthrough. I just want to believe that this is your day of your salvation. I just want to believe that this could be a day of your healing. And not only can it be a day of your healing and your salvation and breakthrough, I believe it is a day that the Lord wants to restore, reinstate the goal, the purpose, and the vision on your life. Even the areas where you feel maybe probably somehow you've lost it, and I encourage you, this is a day of good news, that it is His will to touch you. It is His will to restore you. It is His will to heal you. And I encourage you, whatever that area that we're looking for a breakthrough, just lift it up before God and say, Jesus, I surrender to you. Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender. And Jesus, I just ask. That all that you died for, all that you bled for, all that you paid for your sons and daughters, let it be to the effect of this very moment. Let it be to the effect of this very hour for them in their lives. Father, even those that have given up, those that have lost hope, those that have accepted the circumstances as their cross to bear, Father, I pray that you infuse supernatural hope and bring breakthrough in their lives. Bring breakthrough in their situations. Bring breakthrough in their circumstance. In the name of Jesus. Shara kasenderi akashandari abababa. Just receive. Rama baseketeria kashandaria kasandar. Shaka senderia kashandaria. Just receive. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you impart a fresh fire. I pray that you impart a fresh touch. In the name of Jesus. Sharia Kasandaria. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, receive the Master's touch. Just receive the Master's touch. Receive the Master's touch. Receive the Master's touch. Receive the Master's touch. Receive the Master's touch in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak light in every darkness. I speak hope in every hopelessness. I speak life in every place of death. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you want me to pray with you specifically in any area the Lord has been touching you, you can just come, I pray with you. And for those of you that are getting baptized, if you're not wanting prayer, yeah, so those of you guys wanting prayer, yeah, just let's pray in the spirit there. If we're there for a while, shandari aba seketeria baba sharia kas sharia baba sharia shaka sandaria baba shaka taria kasantaria baba shandaria kasantaria baba shandaria baba shenteria baba shaka taria baba seketeria kasantaria baba seketeria baba mashenteria kasantaria baba shantaria baba In the name of Jesus, I just take authority over this pain in the back. I take authority over this pain. Lord, in the name of Jesus, take away this pain. Father, heal and restore every fracture. Heal and restore every break. In the name of Jesus. Every break, every pain, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Sharia, Spanish. Sharia, Cassandaria, Shara. Command that pain gone, command the pain gone. Ria Cassandaria, Cassandaria, Sakataria, Baba. I speak the fresh fire of the Spirit, fire of the Spirit, fire of the Spirit, fire of the Spirit. Sha! In the name of Jesus, Father, never again, never again, never again, never again, never again. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Shara baba, sekateria baba. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command healing. I command wholeness. Father, restore the ankles. Restore the veins, Father. Touch that. Touch that. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, Father, that you do what no man can do. You do what no other God can do. Father, I thank you that you do what only you can do. You do what only you can do. You do what only you can do, Father. In the name of Jesus. Rabba. Father, I take authority over every abnormality. I take authority over it and command it gone. Command it healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.